Hope you'll have the website up soon. We'll talk about it then. I'll give you the last word.
Well, you know, there are rules, and they need to be broken. These rules are arbitrary. It's about time that people start to think that they don't have to play by these rules, which are designed to keep them out of the system. If you look today at the people that are on these town boards or school boards or your state, other state and local elections and county, how do they get there? They get there from the parties. They get the money from the parties. They represent the parties. And listen, how many cross-endorsement deals have we seen in the past few years? This is worse than the Soviet Union. At least in the Soviet Union, they put up 12 candidates, even though they were all the Communist Party, but at least you had 12 people to pick from. I mean, it just reminds me of Henry Ford said about the Model T. You can have any color you want, as long as it's black. So my goal is to upset the apple cart, to turn the rules upside down, to get people to start to think about competition.
Well, you can have any candidate you want as long as it's one blessed by the establishment. But there is that box at the bottom, and you got a pen in your hand. I very often see the same name listed, especially for judges, but sometimes for other offices, where the two big parties cross-endorse the same candidate, and there's no choice. There's Smith, 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 or in the next column, Jones, 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 Jones. I always go to the bottom and write a write-in. But one piece of advice, don't write in Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse, because they're not registered voters. They'll get thrown out. Take a real person who lives in the district, put your own name in, or maybe get involved in a campaign to put up a name without the blessing of the Board of Elections.
Or go to compete in New York and ballot. See who's running as a candidate.
Yeah. We're speaking with Peter Nichols. Thank you for joining us today on Long Island Liberty with BAM. It's about a minute to noon. Coming up next is Progressive Solutions here on the most dangerous station in the nation, most dangerous station in the nation, competitive, loquacious WUSB Stony Brook.
Oh, yeah.
You are listening to WUSB Stony Brook, and now, Progressive Solutions with our host, Jim Lynch.
Trials and crosses in our way, pretty soon they'll have to fade away. With a little dedication and sweet devotion, oh yeah.
Your trouble.
Happy days.
Come on, get happy.
Are here again.
You better chase all your cares away.
Are clear again.
Shout hallelujah.
So let's sing.
Come
a song
on, get happy.
Of cheer again.
Get ready
happy
for the judgment
here
day.
Again.
The sun is shining.
About it now. Happy
we're going
days
to the promised land.
Again.
We're heading across the river. Soon your cares will all be gone.
There'll be no more from now on. From now on.
Forget your troubles.
Yeah.
Martini. Let's hear it for
I love that
yeah.
China and Rufus there doing a little thing on a pink martini recording, as actually with the title track. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Progressive Solutions. I'm Jim Lynch, your host. And this is the program where we listen and learn from individuals and groups that are doing something about the myriad of problems facing our society and, in fact, our entire planet. And today is Tuesday, December 12, 2017. Volume 2, number 40 of Progressive Solutions. We are broadcasting on air and online at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and WUSB.FM. And a shout out to our internet planet wide audience there. I know you're out there somewhere. In fact, a shout out to Donna in Smithtown. she had to endure my charming personality the other evening. So now I know two Donnas, although her one of them's husband pronounces it Donner. Donna in Smithtown. Beautiful downtown Smithtown. No, they're, one's in Hoppog and one is way down in another part. So no one knows what Smithtown is, but we... We all know someone that lives there. Anyway, I love the town. I tease, as Bill Maher would do, I tease the township system. I grew up without townships. Hello, we went from cities to counties, and we didn't have a little step in between so we could have more bureaucracy. But one of these days, someone will enlighten me as to why townships are... really a good idea. Remember, show information can be found at facebook.com/progressive radio and wusb.fm/progressive. Wusb.fm being our homepage, and you'll also find a online giving form you can get to. You can take we take donations year round, but we concluded our fall radiothon, and we thank all of you from the bottom of our tippy toes there for your donations, large, small, in between. We really, really appreciate it. So thank you. Keep listening. And when you get people like me on, you know one thing and one thing only: something to offend everyone. All right. Okay. Let's get going. Today's show. In other words, why should you keep listening to this guy babble? Here we go. Today we're going to look at a lot of things, as always. It's a little eclectic issue-wise these days, since indeed everything is broken. But the issues today will range from the tax plan, if I want to call it a plan, written by lobbyists, all the way to activists that are working in far-flung locales, Palestine, for example, and our Long Island jails, which leads us to our featured guest, Stephen Figura-Smith. Stephen will speak for the Nassau County Jail Associates, JCJA. He's a local parent, educator, and activist. He became passionate about prisoner rights and prisoner abolition while at Hampshire College in Western Mass from 04 to 08, where he studied the work of authors and activists like, such as Angela Davis, Dorothy Roberts, Sister Song Collective, Insight, and Critical Resistance. Stephen volunteered to tutor at the local county jail with a student group, building awareness across bars. His activism is further inspired by family and friends who have been incarcerated. There's a link to their Facebook page if you go to our Facebook page, Progressive Radio, or our website here at WSB, and then just put /progressive. And you'll see a description of the show, an attempt at a song list. We've already gone off script a little with the Pink Martini tune. Thought it might be a little something more uplifting than the usual rants that we have immediately after the intro. So we've already changed it up a little bit, but the playlist and all of that is available and the bio on Stephen Figueroa Smith at wsb.fm/progressive. And today, my frequent sidekick and occasional senior Florida correspondent, snowbird that he is, he's down there now, one Stephen Weah will be joining us. All right. So that's today's show. And I think we're going to have a good time. Sit back, relax. We're here till 2 o'clock. And then we have another Trump train guy on here. don't anyone fool you about there's too many progressives at WSB. That's not a true statement. Anyway, let's get going. Where is that wonderful window? Right here. Tuesday, December 12, 1870. I remember that. Joseph Rainey, Republican of South Carolina, what a shock, that was actually earlier, so anyway, took his seat in the U.S. House of Representatives, becoming the first African-American member of Congress. All right, December 12, 1916, Dr. Ben Reitman was arrested in Cleveland for organizing volunteers to distribute birth control information at an Emma Goldman lecture on birth control. He was sentenced to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine plus court costs. Back when $1,000, what a ways, folks. December 12, 1916. And our last one for today, December 12, 1947. United Mine Workers Union withdrew from the American Federation of Labor over the AFL's failure to organize workers in mass production industries like textiles, automobiles, steel, and rubber. So there you have it, a little bit of this day in history. Let's turn right now to Activist Corner and get some of our local items out of the way. A lot going on despite the cold. North Country Peace Group, we were invited by the denizens, the power elite of Setauket, New York, to their holiday parade. It was great, and it was cold. But we got to have our float along with probably 49 others. There was quite a group there. We had not been asked before, so that was my first time there. And great fun, and enjoyed it very much. And congrats to all of the members of the North Country Peace Group that were able to participate, and those that cheered us on anyway, and to the community and the Setauket, the Three Village area, whatever, that attend. It was a good turnout by the public, and a lot of fun. North Country Peace Groups meets for now since the invasion of Afghanistan, 16 years plus, every Saturday at 11 a.m. to 12 noon on Route 25A, Bennett's Road. We are one traffic light to the east of Nichols Road and 25A. All right, so just show up, please, anybody. We need more people, one, especially in the winter, and two, we have a lot of signs that don't have anyone to hold them up. We also have members that don't like to hold signs up. That, don't get me going on that. I don't get it, but they stand in solidarity, I think is how they would phrase it, but perhaps I'm wrong. Maybe they just don't like the signs. Maybe they won't make up one of their own. They're too lazy. I don't know. But we have one guy, Paul. He brings a bag, a big garbage bag, full of signs. And I think Chuck and others do too. Myrna, all of the gang. So there's plenty of signage that you can stand there and hold up and offend people with. Or get a big thumbs up instead of that middle finger, right? So it's a lot of fun. It's a way to communicate to the community that we are standing for peace and justice. And there are a lot of peace and justice issues out there. So that's why the signage is all over the place. One of the difficulties of the left, right? That was a bad sentence. One of the difficulties of the left, correct, is that we tend to take on a lot of causes, not just one. Being in power, that's what the other one does. Takes care of everything. That's their whole agenda. That and make sure we cut taxes and make sure the rich get richer and all that. But ours is more complex and nuanced, and as a result, we'll argue amongst ourselves about issues, of course, because some of them are pretty sticky wickets, as the Brits would say. Enough on North Country Peace Group. December 13, that will be tomorrow night, tomorrow morning, excuse me, Resist in Peace. Sounds like Rest in Peace, doesn't it, the way I just said it? Resist in Peace. Their final 2017 meeting, 10 a.m., which is a new time slot, so remember that. Huntington CineArts Center. The speaker, Stephen Stern, former legislator. There'll be a Q&A and Long Island Seniors versus Taxes and other pertinent Trumpian subjects. I like how they phrase that. More info, Kathleen at ChattySayin, ChattySayin at gmail.com. ChattySayin. December 13, just kind of sort of competing, but for the other counties, so maybe not too bad. December 13, 2017, the challenges of immigration, Reach Out America presents at the UU, 12:30 on the 13th, 48 Shelter Rock Road, Manhasset. Natanya Brundell will address the latest turns in the contentious issue of immigration and share her personal knowledge, legal and otherwise, and talk about the newcomers who are lifeblood of our republic and help them navigate the perplexing path to assimilation. Q&A follows. Admission is free. Refreshments provided. Welcome to anyone to show up. And again, same day, same place, same time, Hungry to Help. There's an opportunity to bring non-perishable packaged foodstuffs, so you can go to that gig. At the same time, you can bring various foodstuffs to the UU Shelter Rock tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. On the 14th, Long Island Media Task Force Media Comedy Night. Needless to say, I was not invited. 7 p.m., Plainview, Old Beth Page Library, 999 Old Country Road, Plainview. As luck would have it, the next Long Island Media Task Force meeting is scheduled for the same day. Date is predicted that we're going to lose net neutrality. Ah, that's what I didn't put enough in for today. Dang it, I forgot about that. Dark day indeed, and we will definitely need a little levity. So, comedy night at the Old Beth Page Library, 7 p.m. in Plainview. LongIslandMediaTaskForce.org. Their website is limediataskforce.org. And also on the 14th, Sandy Hook Shooting Reflection, 7 p.m. UU Shelter Rock, 48 Shelter Rock Road, Manhasset. Service of Memory and Reflection on the 5th anniversary of the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Thoughts and prayers, one of those days. We were in no change, nothing. Vegas, same thing. Thoughts and prayers, done. We will gather for readings, meditation, and candle lighting in recognition of the 5th anniversary of Sandy Hook. Wow. UUCR worship room, 7 p.m., led by Reverend Natalie Fenimore. And lastly, December 18, 2017, Together to End Solitary Confinement. That ties into our program today. Together to End Solitary Confinement at 6:30 p.m. at the worship room, UU Shelter Rock, Manhasset, 48 Shelter Rock Road. Advocates for ending prolonged solitary confinement gather every month, remembering those who are segregated in confinement 23 hours a day. All right, I'm in here 2 hours and go out of my mind because the temperature is not controllable and it's really hot right now. They do 23 hours every day of solitary. And what is the 9 by 6, whatever the cell size is. presentation by Robin D'Angelo, a former professor of education and author of What Does It Mean to Be White? All right. And more information, 516-472-2977. All right, popularresistance.org. I did not put anything up this time around because I had a feeling I would run out of time, so I just left that out of the program today. Popularresistance.org is a great source for activist activity outside of the U.S., let alone outside of Suffolk County and Nassau County. Excuse me, but it's already getting dry in here. All right, let's do a little rant here on the Trumpocalypse. Wow. Talk about a subject no one wants to talk about or hear about ever again in their lives, but yet we hear about it every day. All day, every day, it seems like. What's going on right now that it's important? Obviously, there's a speaking out people that are calling attention to the sexual harassment issue of men behaving badly, is a phrase I use. And are we closing in on the sexual predator in chief? Who knows? A whole bunch of very well-spoken and brave, courageous women spoke out this week, and will continue to do so against Donald John Trump, real estate bozo from New York, who apparently is president of the United States and brags about grabbing female genitalia. I was glad to see some of our group the other night had their pussy hats on. That was in honor of our predator in chief. I think the only thing we can really say about this, you know, they want to get hearings and all that stuff going on in Congress. And then, of course, we looked at the fact that Republicans are controlling Congress and, as we speak, are voting for a sexual predator in Alabama. So we're down to that distillation of so much of what's going on right now to the fact that only Republicans can save us right now. And they're not in the habit of saving anyone but themselves. So it's hard to get too positive about something as far-fetched as hauling the President of the United States before a committee and asking him about his sexual predation. It just doesn't seem like it's going to happen to me, but it is another opportunity where we have to reflect on the fact that the one-party system, and hats off to our previous host, to Bruce, for bringing up the one-party system today in his program. It's one party. It's the corporate party. It's the establishment party. It's the oligarchs that bet on both horses and use the sock puppets that are in office to get across their agenda. Nothing changes at all. We've been in perpetual war with both sides of the corporate party in power. Obama accelerated it into Yemen, and now Yemen is one of the biggest disaster sites. Now that Syria has been virtually destroyed and most of Iraq, we really do have to look at Syria, at Yemen, and we're going to do a short video with Jeremy Scahill on that today, an important statement about that. Okay. What else? The Paris meetings this week for climate change. It's minus the rogue state superpower, by the way. Not in attendance. The country with the unwieldy name, the United States of America. You know, what global warming? Ah, it's fake news. You know, that country. They're not in attendance. There's a real good interview I caught with Macron, France's president, who was talking about the U.S. absence and all of that. And he really stuck it to Trump relative to the negotiation concept that Trump thinks he's good at. You know, he says, we're not going to negotiate, but we would like to talk and we'd like to have the U.S. Participate and all that good stuff. He said all the right things, but he says, you know, it's not something we're going to renegotiate. that was a little message to Trumpocalypse president there. So that's going on this week. Of course, the Roy Moore thing, already, you know, the pathetic campaigning of the Republicans to, you know, they already run every branch of government, but they've got to have, every single person there. And, you know, it's much more important to put party over morality. This is the party that said they were the family values party. Remember that? Compassionate conservative. Remember that? they're capitalists. That's it. It's money. That's all they care about. So all that other is pure BS, and their pious nonsense by going to church and sitting there. Their hypocrisy. I lived in Augusta, Georgia for 5.5 years, six heat cycles, as I phrase it. And, you know, you had to go to church. That's just basically required by law. Anyway, the hypocrisy was amazing, and it started with me. I had to do it because I worked at a Catholic hospital, and we had to be front and center. They didn't care what religion, though. It was kind of interesting. I got pulled aside early by the gentleman that hired me. It said, hey, they don't really care what church, just go to church. Okay, yes, sir. Those were the days. So hypocrisy extends all the way to all of us, including me. All right. Conservatives don't want to govern because that's not what conservatism is. It's not what it's all about. They're not wired for governing. That's why it's the old joke, if you want to see things fall apart, just elect a Republican, because they'll prove that they are right. The government is broken. It's wrong. It's government's bad. They'll prove it every time when they're elected, because they don't know how to govern. They don't want to govern. They don't believe in governing. So you have placeholder presidents. Not that the other side of the corporate party didn't do the same thing. All right. I'm going to skip a musical interlude now, and I'm going to go right to a quick little video here with our friend Elizabeth Warren. We're going to try to work in a couple, three tax comments. And this one, it's got some visual, but I think you've already seen the visual. So let's turn her loose here. For some reason, we don't have her. Oh, that would explain it. My bad. Let's back up Liz here.
So here it is, Friday night, and I just want to give you an idea of how the Republican leadership thinks we're supposed to make laws in the United States Senate. They have just released the tax bill. It is about 500 pages, and they want us to vote on this thing in about an hour. An hour. I spent more than an hour making a decision about the refrigerator that we recently bought. But the Republicans think that they can cram through a tax bill that will affect every family in America, that will touch every business in America, and they can do it by just jamming through a bunch of paper and telling everybody to go vote on it. Here's what else they've done. They're sending around their edits as we speak, edits. So let me just give you one here. Section 13543, modification of treatment of S corporations, conversions to C corporations. Add A, adjustments attributable to conversion from S corporation, oh, it's been cut off, to corporation. Section 481 is amended by adding at the end, I assume they mean end, but again, it's all cut off, the following new subsection. Adjustments attributable to conversion for a corporation, something, C corporation, paren, dangerous? That can't be right. Ingenious? Huh. In the case of eligibility, something, S corporation, any increase in tax under this chapter, something, because it's cut off, by version, by reason of an adjustment, something very subsection A2, and which is, oops, scratched out, attributable to such corporations, revocation, described in, oh, paragraph, I'll bet that's paragraph, 2AII, shall be taken into account, notably, during the six taxable YO period beginning W/something, and then it's cut off at the bottom. And the Republicans think that's how you make tax policy late on a Friday night. Don't let anybody read it. Just cram through what you want to cram through. And why? Because they know they've got what they mostly need in here. And that's the payoff to the big Republican donors. And whatever else it does to hardworking families, whatever else it does to this economy, they don't care. They just want to vote this thing through and pay off their donors. This isn't right. This is not how America should be making laws. And shame on the Republicans.
Okay, that you may have seen on, if you watch any of the late night talk shows, professional comedians take that document, a photocopy, and you know, make all kinds of funny jokes about it. I think that one was more hilarious, and she's not a professional comedian. The only thing she left out, of course, was she didn't make the comment that it was no doubt written by lobbyists, and not one Republican probably wrote anything in that thing. So she obvious, for obvious reasons, she can't get into that. Anyway, we will revisit the tax bill nightmare later in the program, and that concludes the opinion section of the program. And I would like to encourage you, if you or you know someone who would like to be showcased a little bit on this show for their activism, give me a holler. All right, I'm at Seamus at WUSB.FM. That's the email. Seamus, S-E-A-M-U-S, at WUSB.FM. All right, we're going to get our guest on the line here and talk a little bit about the incarceration issues. We've done this off and on for 12-plus years now. We're coming on the end of year two here for this program. We had 9 years of everything that's broken. And his name is Stephen Figueroa-Smith. Stephen will speak for the Nassau County Jail Associates, and a local parent, educator, and activist, and passionate about prisoner rights and prison abolition. And we'll talk about the prison industrial complex and all of that. He's worked with building awareness across bars. His activism was further inspired by family and friends who've been incarcerated. There's a link to their Facebook page at facebook.com/progressiveradio. Also at wsb.fm/progressive. His name, Stephen Figuresmith. He'll correct me if I'm messing that up. And let's get him on the line right now. We'll be back. Let's do a little bit of Roseanne Cash. And enjoy that, and then we'll see you in a minute.
Know the truth about you, babe. Know the stories you tell. I can feel your heart locked up inside you. I swear I know you so well. When the wind blows out across the water, and we stand here in this light, all our secrets fall like raindrops between us, and I know the truth tonight. I know the truth about you, babe. I can feel it through your hands. I can touch it when I'm sleeping. I can love it. If our ships sail on to distant places, and our memories burn and fade, I might say I loved a man just like you, but I know the truth today. I know the truth about you, babe. Where you've fallen, where you stand, where your walls still come between us, where you take it like a man.
Okay, we'll be with you in a moment, folks. We have a little trouble getting our guest on the line, so let's see if we can find a little something else to do here.
Hi, this is Montel Williams for the Humane Society of the United States. They're playful and affectionate, aloof and mysterious. They're also the most frequent occupants of America's animal shelters, where millions end up each year. They're cats, America's most popular pets, but also the pet most likely to die prematurely from disease, poison, animal abuse, and collision with vehicles because many people let their cats roam freely. To protect your cats from harm, please keep them indoors. A safe cat is a happy cat.
Independent media tells our story. I think you are all documentarians of our social movement history.
We need a media that can tell us the truth about what's really happening in the world.
Independent media for us has been such a valuable support and collaborator in telling the stories of the real change makers, the real leaders in social movements who are out on the streets, out in their communities every day.
I will say thank you, first and foremost, for the folks that do like come out and cover, you know, the righteousness that's going on, the organizing that's going on.
Alternative media, journalists, cameras, pens, ink, all of that stuff, typewriters, computers, all of that stuff in those crucial moments is really, really completely necessary.
Free press is probably one of the most vital things to a democracy. So if you have a nation like the United States, where in 1983 they had about 50 corporations running the media, and then now in 2016 there's about six. So that means that basically you're getting a very funneled down idea of what is going on, and based on those corporate interests, you might get a rather skewed perspective.
The massive distrust that people now have in the media, the fact that they no longer feel either represented by the political class or represented in their day-to-day lives by the media, that means that they will look to alternatives, and the alternatives can come from the far right, they can come from Breitbart, or they can come from serious independent media outlets pursuing real journalism and real independence of thought.
And so, as you begin your wonderful journey into the world as working education professionals, you will soon know that children everywhere love you and rely on your commitment to education. Know also, teachers and professionals to be, that as you enter the education profession, some restrictions may apply.
Teachers may not be paid full salaries. Educators may be replaced at any time by younger non-professional Teach for America teachers. Teachers may effectively work at $19.99 wages. If you become a college professor, 50% of you and your fellow professors will work only part-time. Pay for days worked at year end may be withheld indefinitely. You may live at or below the federal poverty line. You may be eligible for public assistance. Union protections, if any, may be revoked at any time. Faculty voices are subject to being silenced. Cost-effective analysis is likely to replace educational priorities, and you may become eligible for food stamps.
But remember, the children love you. A hearty congratulations as you begin your new career. So, go forth. Begin your quest to proudly educate America's future citizens, and try to avoid the restrictions.
Okay, we are back, and we've got our guest on the line, Stephen Figueroa-Smith. Stephen, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Jim.
Good, good. All right. Stephen's going to speak for the Nassau County Jail Advocates, NCJA, and his bio is available at our website at wsb.fm/progressive and at our Facebook page, Facebook.com/progressive radio. His organization has a Facebook page that has a link there as well. Stephen, glad you're available, and let's get going here. Maybe you can do this for us. Why don't you expand that bio a little bit? I had to short-circuit it just then. Where were you born and raised? Where'd you go to school? And more importantly, what lit the fire for you to be an activist?
Sure. All right, so I'm from Virginia. I live in Valley Stream, Long Island now. And I went to school in Hampshire College in Massachusetts. That's where I became passionate about prison reform and prison abolition. Through studying and reading the works of activists and authors such as Angela Davis, organizations like Sister Song, Critical Resistance, and working with a student group building awareness across bars, tutoring with them in the local county jail, and as well as incarcerated family members and friends have all inspired me to get involved in doing this work.
Super, super. If you do me a favor and be don't wander around with that phone, because we barely have you here. Okay, you're fading in and out, so you're not on speaker or anything like that, right?
No, I'm not. I'm getting a little bit of an echo on my end.
Okay, that's my fault. Now that should be gone. You okay now?
Yeah, that sounds much better.
Okay, my apologies. I hit a bunch of buttons.
No worries.
Okay,
appreciate you having me on.
Well, good to have you, and we want to hear, it's always heartening to know that local groups are in so many different arenas. In this particular case, the arena is a jail. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the Nassau County Jail Advocates, your group, a little bit of its history and your mission and where you're trying to go with all this. And if you have some goals for 2018 or any actions that you're going to stage, let us know. So what's some of the history there?
All right, great. So there's a lot to talk about there. So the Nassau County Jail Advocates is actually the most recent incarnation of a coalition that was more loosely formed over the past several years. and includes or has included representatives from various advocacy and service organizations, nonprofits around the island, including New Hour for Women and Children, Second Chance Reentry, Community Action for Social Justice, the New York Civil Liberties Union, Nassau County Chapter, National Alliance for Mental Illness, just to name a few. We started meeting under the umbrella of the Nassau County Jail Advocates around November of last year, and did a lot of sort of groundwork and planning research, and came public with the most recent incarnation of the coalition at a press conference in September outside of the Nassau County Legislature. So let me go ahead and read our mission statement. Okay. Nassau County Jail Advocates is dedicated to defending the basic human rights, safety, and dignity of all people incarcerated in the Nassau County Correctional Center. We advocate for more robust systems of accountability and oversight for those responsible for NCCC's operations, as well as a reallocation of resources for the creation of comprehensive treatment, social services, education, employment, and public safety programs. We are committed to working toward a just transformation of Nassau County's penal system, which will in turn create safer communities. The voices and lived experiences of those incarcerated and their families guide our goals and actions.
Well, that's a lot.
So let me expand on that.
Okay. Go into
more specifics of our work. We really focus on several different areas because there's so many levels at which the jail needs reform. You know, we say that Nassau County Jail is a human rights fail, and it's really true. The constitutional and basic human rights of incarcerated persons are violated on a daily basis within the jail, and the upper levels of management have also violated the labor rights of employees by creating unsafe conditions in the jail, providing grossly inadequate training. And so we focus on improving oversight and accountability at all levels of the jail's operations, as well as improving reentry services, addiction treatment, medical and mental health care, which is probably the issue at the jail, which has been given the most spotlight by the media over the last few years. Respect for dignity of visiting families and effective rehabilitation programs for incarcerated persons.
Is there a way to prioritize all of that? There is so much that you just read off that, you know, there are specific changes you want made right now, right? And is there any consensus among your group as to which maybe two or three are really absolutely top of the list type items?
So let me focus a lot. The bulk of our campaign work lately is really focused on the Board of Visitors. So let me dive into that.
Okay.
The Board of Visitors is an oversight committee. It's supposed to be an oversight committee that can investigate any kind of corruption or rights violations or mismanagement in the jail and enforce, should have enforced some kind of enforcement mechanisms for collecting any wrongdoings that they find. The Board of Visitors was written into the Nassau County Charter in 1990. However, it was never formed. The county executive is responsible for appointing the seven members of the Board of Visitors. For 13 years between 1990 and 23 years rather, there was no Board of Visitors. Until in 2013, a lawsuit that was brought against the jail and the county resulted in a settlement agreement, which included mandating that the Board of Visitors finally be given life. So that was an important victory, but it was a very small one, and there were really a lot. There have been a lot of setbacks since then. Primarily, the Board of Visitors, as it is currently as it currently stands, does not have or use any of the powers which are written into the charter, and has not been given any kind of teeth by the legislature. The people who sit on the Board of Visitors should be experts in fields related to human rights, social services, social work, medical care, health care, mental health. But instead, you'll find that the 6 out of the 7 who are actually seated really are only tangentially, if at all, related to any field of relevance to the work. There's people like school board presidents on there that were just appointed because they are pillars in their community. It was politically palatable. And yet they are entirely derelict in their duties. And so one of our primary demands is that we call on the county's legislative and executive branches to ensure that the Board of Visitors has the necessary funding and resources, legal authority, and enforcement mechanisms to investigate complaints and to effect meaningful change.
Are they paid?
They are not paid, no.
They're not paid, okay. That's an important
decision. They're not paid, and they have no funding, period, in fact. They have absolutely nothing to work with. The county charter says that they're supposed to have access to a temporary office space in the jail. As far as we know, that's never been the case.
Okay, so what you're saying is this isn't a politically appointed committee, and they're not paid, they have no offices, and they have no budget. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's strictly window dressing for somebody's resume, if nothing else. But that's disturbing, to say the least.
Yes, and they are the sole body responsible for any kind of oversight. Most state facilities, they have oversight performed by the State Commission on Corrections, but county jails are outside of the SCOC's purview. So it's the Board of Visitors is the only game in town. So they're derelict in their duties, and really by extension, that makes the Nassau County Legislature culpable, because they are the ones who have the power to push the Board of Visitors to do their job. They're the ones that have the power to authorize funding for the Board of Visitors. I know legislator Sheila Bino currently has legislation which she's written, partnered with some of the members of our coalition to draft, which would make several changes to the Board of Visitors, including providing funding, giving them subpoena power, and other investigative and enforcement tools, and it has not even been allowed to come up for a vote on the floor.
Okay. Okay, so we're talking about 7 individuals. If is there any talented people there that are just not being given the funding and the resources and the power, if you will, to do anything? Or are these pretty weak people to begin with? Should they be eliminated and have a different group of people?
I believe, we believe as a coalition, that the way forward is to completely replace all of the members of the Board of Visitors. Even though they haven't been proactively given the tools that they need, they also have not asked for or fought for those things. They could have chosen to be a thorn in the side of the legislators until they were given the tools that they need, but really they've just sat back, put it on their resumes, and let countless people, deaths and beatings occur in the jail, without batting an eye. We recently were actually in communication with them about our most recent campaign, which I also want to talk about, which is involves the heat. We received complaints, reports from family members of folks who are currently detained within the jail, that there were freezing temperatures, that the heat was not working in several sections of the jail, including the in Building E, in the, which I believe is the North Complex, and also the women's facility in the South Complex. We discovered through some anonymous sources that the HVAC system had been completely overhauled, and that it's currently, now it's malfunctioning. We engaged in a call-in campaign to the jail and the county DA office and Human Rights Commission, demanding that the situation with the heat be investigated, and very importantly, in the meantime, that any incarcerated people who have serious medical conditions or are pregnant be moved into areas of the jail where the heat is functioning, and that all other inmates be given extra bedding and clothing. We learned from those same sources that the inmates have been given extra bedding, these blankets, which are called, referred to as suicide blankets, strangely enough, because you're not able to commit suicide with them. They're so thick that you cannot tear them, but that's the nomenclature. But there has been no word about movement of any individuals with medical conditions or pregnancy, which would make them more susceptible to being harmed by cold or freezing temperatures. We wrote a letter to the Board of Visitors, which we mailed to the DA's office, which is the official address which all complaints are supposed to be submitted. And we also mailed it to their home addresses. And so that got us a response back. Basically, what we were told was that they spoke to the sheriff's office and everything's under control. Just the long and short of it. There are a few more details. A lot of the details that they said they were given by the sheriff's office conflicted directly with accounts that we had received. And so we've sent them a counter response with three main demands, and we're asking anybody at all who would like to support us in this to send their own letter to the Board of Visitors reiterating these demands. So our three main demands of the Board of Visitors in regards to the heating situation is that, number one, they need to make an unannounced visit to the jail to investigate the heat personally. They can't simply take the word of the sheriff's department. Number two, they must ensure that additional precautions are taken for those incarcerated with serious medical conditions or while pregnant to be protected from the cold temperatures. It is a start, and frankly, surprising that they did provide extra bedding to inmates, but that's not enough. And number three is that we are calling on the Board of Visitors to release a public statement detailing all of the information that they currently have and what the next steps they plan to take. All of this information is available along with the address to write them on our Facebook page, which I believe you posted up on your page.
Yeah.
It's www.facebook.com/NCJailAdvocates. And all of this, these demands are in writing there, as well as the address for the Board of Visitors, which is care of the Napa County Attorney's Office.
Good. We'll come back to that a little bit later before we wrap it up. Excuse me. What I thought would be interesting, if you could do a little case study on some of the incarcerated there, and its impact on family and all of that. Do you have somebody you could, or you don't have to mention names, obviously, but if you could give an example or two?
Yeah, well, let's talk about a case that's been very public, but has been out of the public eye for a while now, and it's still ongoing. This is the case of Daryl Woody. Daryl Woody was one of the 16 people who have died while in custody at the jail since 2010. I believe if we're putting it in chronological order, he was number 4.
Okay.
He allegedly committed suicide in 2011. While he was on one-to-one suicide watch at the Nassau University Medical Center. He was arrested on Christmas Day, and he was dead by within the first few days of January. I don't want to get the date wrong out of respect to the family. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I believe it was January 3rd, but I could be incorrect about that. So what happened with Daryl Woody, he suffered from mental illness. He did not receive his meds upon booking. I'm going to get a little bit graphic, so give that warning to your listeners before I get into this, the details of this. This is a little bit graphic. He took a metal piece off of the fire alarm in his cell and stabbed himself repeatedly in his face, neck, and arms. And dozens of witnesses reported that as he was taken down the hallway, dragged down the hallway, he was shouting, "I did this to get my meds. I need my meds. I'm sorry, but I did this so they would give me my meds." He was brought. He was put on suicide watch and brought to the prison ward of the Nassau University Medical Center. And this was really, I believe, just a few months before the private health corporation Armor took over for them. So while he was on, while he was in the hospital on one-to-one suicide watch, he somehow managed to hang himself. The Woody family is, let me just also say that the State Commission on Corrections did an investigation into Daryl Woody's death, and they determined that his death was caused by gross negligence on the part of Nassau County Jail and Nassau University Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
So the Woody family currently has a civil lawsuit against the county. I believe it names the county, the correctional center, and Nassau University Medical Center. And it's kind of outrageous. You know, there have been some really large settlements with family members of inmates who have died, most notably an $8 million settlement with a veteran who committed suicide, Bartholomew Ryan. There are some interesting, it's just, you know, when you look at all of these cases side by side, you see, number one, the racial difference, that Daryl Woody is black, Bartholomew Ryan was white, and also that Bartholomew Ryan's death occurred under the auspices of Armor Healthcare, whereas Daryl Woody's death occurred under the auspices of Nassau University Medical Center. So the county has more at stake to fight against the claims against them. Daryl Woody's death implicates more people, whereas those who died under Armor's care, it was easier to paint it as a picture of kind of making Armor the scapegoat, which I'm not defending Armor. They were terrible. They did a lot of... they did provide worse health care than Nassau University Medical Center. At the same time, the laser focus on Armor Healthcare that the media has had whenever reporting on the jail has really turned them into a scapegoat, which ignores a lot of the more systemic problems at the jail, which go high up in the county level.
Now that contract, moved from Armor to what group now for the healthcare
back,
contract?
It has returned back to Nassau University Medical Center.
I see, and their medical staff has that. There'll be a medical director appointed by Nick Mick, and then there'll be how many are staffed in the medical side of things at the jail itself, as far as physicians, nurses, whatever, allied health?
I don't have exact numbers, but I've heard reports other coalition members of NCJA have spoken to those involved in the NUMIC, and they've been told that they have severe concerns about understaffing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There you go. Wow. Yes. You mentioned Newsday. I think it's important. Some of us don't take Newsday, I get their email blast every day, but I don't, some of the Nassau County stuff I ignore because I live in Suffolk. But, the jail.
I'm sorry. Before we move on from Daryl Woody, I just would really be remiss if I didn't say that one of the Woody family, I can't speak for them, but I've spoken to some of them, and one of their primary concerns in terms of getting justice for their brother is the issue of video cameras, which are supposed to be in the Nassau County Jail, according to a 99 court settlement, and have never been installed. Or if they have been installed, there has been no footage from them entered into evidence in their case.
Okay, thank you for that. That's important. We are just about out of time, so I just realized our clock in the studio stopped, so I finally looked over at the computer and realized it's after the top of the hour here. We have to do a legal ID here. This is WUSB Stony Brook at 90.1 FM and W297BM Stony Brook at 107.3 FM. And again, welcome to our internet audience at WUSB.FM. We have been speaking with our guest today, Stephen Figuresmith, representing the Nassau County Jail Advocates. What did we leave out? I want you to get one last word in before we move on here, Stephen.
Sure. There's certainly a lot more to talk about or cover than we have time for. We are calling on the county executive-elect Laura Curran to hire a new sheriff, which is something that she said during her campaign would be one of her first actions. But we are concerned that the hiring process be totally transparent and have the input of affected communities, of the formerly incarcerated and their family members, and that she strongly pursue hiring from outside of the current workforce rather than from within, that she hire somebody not only with law enforcement or corrections experience, but someone who has a background in social work or human rights or mental health as well, someone who can really take the lead in transforming Nassau County Jail from a human rights fail into a beacon of humane rehabilitation and restorative justice, someone that understands humane corrections and really truly understands the meaning of the word rehabilitation and doesn't look at justice as retribution.
Okay. Good. Let's also remind the audience one more time what they can do. You want to do the Facebook address and all of that, and as far as complaints, who do they write or email on that?
Yes, okay. So our Facebook address is facebook.com/NC, as in Nassau County, NC Jail Advocates.
Very good. If they have a complaint to file that they want to support your complaint writing, is there an actual email address they can use, or do they have to go snail mail on that?
As of now, they have to go snail mail. This is another change that we would very much like to see.
All right.
But the Board of Visitors accepts complaints through the mail at Nassau County Correctional Center, Board of Visitors, care of Nassau County Attorney's Office, 1 West Street, Mineola, New York, 11501. People can also call with complaints to the Public Corrections Bureau of the Nassau DA's office at 516-571-2100. And lastly, people can call and express their concern about the conditions at the jail, whether that's the immediate issue of the heat occurring right now, whether they want to give their input about hiring a new sheriff or any other of the issues that we've covered, and so many more that we couldn't. They can call Laura Curran's office at 516-571-6205. That's her legislative office, which I believe she still takes calls at.
Good. Just a footnote to any written communication, if you're writing to this Board of Visitors here, or what is it? Board of Visitors.
Yes, right? That's right.
Okay, it didn't sound right all of a sudden.
Yeah. It's ambiguous so that people don't know what it is.
Right. Make sure you CC Laura Curran on that, and it'll get passed around at that level as well. I will add that little editorial to your comments. Stephen, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and wish you and your group the very best, and hope we can help you out. I'll have these two phone numbers you gave. I can read out later in the program, and we'll hopefully you'll get some support from both counties here on Long Island. And we appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again down the road, okay?
Thank you so much, Jim. We really appreciate this opportunity to come on and talk about.
Super.
About
you take care. Thank you much.
Thank you. You too.
A man lay dying in the street. A thousand people fell down on their knees. Any other day, preaching, reaching all the people there. Oh, Lord, Lord. But Lord knows I can't change what I saw. Battleground was red. His blood came pouring from his head. His women and children falling down, crying for the man they loved so
morning sun will rise again, with all their patience growing thin. What are we gonna do when war has come and we're dying? Dying for the cause I'm